Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Father, we just thank you for your love and your heart for us. We thank you for your goodness. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here right now. Lord, we just give you permission to move through the room. We give you permission to touch your people today. We just give you permission to draw people, just to have your way in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, just turn to Ephesians 1, Ephesians chapter 1. I just really sense the Lord saying to you out here, I just kept getting a strong sense during worship. He was saying, I want to talk to my people, and not through me, although that's part of it, I'm sure, but he wants to talk to you. And the thing that I kept hearing him say is he sees your faithfulness. He sees who you are. And he wants to remind you that he found you, that he came and he found you. You said yes. You said yes to Jesus, but he came and found you. No matter where you were, who you were, no matter what you've done, no matter what your life experiences are, he found you. And I kept hearing that he wants you to know that he found you. And just to meditate on that, what does that mean when the God of the universe found you? And you responded, and you said yes, and you became born again, and he became your savior. But he keeps focusing in on this idea that he found you. What does that mean? In Ephesians 1, I'm just going to read this chapter, and just go ahead and just listen to the word of God. And this great mystery of God, this idea that God is who he says he is, but often we forget in life just because we get involved in normal life and our normal culture and the way things go in our lives, that sometimes we forget of the great majesty and the mystery of who God is. And we get consumed with trying to change things around us. We get consumed with trying to make things better in our lives. We get consumed with a lot of things, and none of those things are necessarily bad. But this great God that found you and then loves you so much, and this great mystery of God where you're actually called to bring heaven into earth. Not just get saved and go to heaven, but you're called to bring heaven and release heaven into earth around you. What does that mean? What does that mean to us personally? And, if God found us and he loves us so much, how then shall we respond to this great love? How should we respond to this great call of God? And are we sometimes just living life and we think of all the challenges of life and we just forget what God has done for us and we forget this great mystery? And we're so longing for breakthrough in this area, in this area, in this area. And I feel like God is saying this morning, I want you to find me in your circumstances. He found you in your circumstances when you were dark and when you were his enemy and when you were blind and lost. He found you. Now he wants you to find him in your circumstances. He wants you to let go of this idea that you can control everything and make everything better, that if so-and-so would just act better in my life, I would feel peaceful. If my kids would just do this, then I would feel good. I'd feel better. If my church or my ministry or my business would just roll better, if they would do more what I think should be done, then I would feel better about life. I'd feel more peaceful. And God says that'll never happen for you. You will never change somebody with just your desire. The only person that you can change is you. And he's calling you into a deep place of peace with this idea. And I really think this is a critical component of walking with God into the end of the age and walking and manifesting who He is, that we can find God in the midst of our circumstances, no matter how severe or harsh they seem, how disappointed we are, how offended we are, how much judgment we hold against somebody else. Jesus said, I can relieve you of that pressure. And if you find me, you will have joy unspeakable. And this is going to be a living reality for the body of Christ as people finding Jesus and the joy unspeakable that the Bible talks about. And yet we walk around in life wondering, is anybody really doing this? But it's time for us to begin to let go of trying to change all our circumstances and focus on Jesus and walking out this idea that He wants to be wants you to be a conduit of heaven into the earth. When you start letting God move through you and you start to see things around you change because you're the one that's become a lover, you're the one that's releasing power into people's lives, you're the one that doesn't wilt away because of rejection and when people don't like you and people come against you, and you don't wilt away because of that, you stand up in the love of God. And you start to see God move inside of you, and He starts to call you to take risks in life. Not to sit at home and try to think things through, but actually take risks in life in public. And He says, I see that lady. I mean, I had this happen yesterday. I saw a lady, and I knew I was supposed to pray for her, but I was in a big rush, and I ended up not praying for her. But my wife talked to her at the checkout lane in a grocery store. She happened to talk to the same lady I felt like I was supposed to pray for. And the lady had a neck brace, and she had a condition where something with her tissues didn't connect. And it bothered me all day. Why didn't I just pray for her? I believe God would heal her. He highlighted her, you know, and it's kind of one of those things. And it's God is just coming, and He's saying, are you so consumed with your cares and your worries and your, and offenses and judgments and who's doing what and how people are doing things and that kind of thing, that you're forgetting that I found you and that my great love for you will transform your heart? And how often do we live life not sitting before God and talking to Him and just letting Him love us? And at the same time, God just saying to people in this room here, I see your faithfulness. You're touching my heart. Some of you are facing things that are so difficult, and yet you're saying yes to God through the midst of it, and you're touching God's heart because of it. And if you would sit before Him, He would start to show you how you're touching His heart. And you know what that does to you? Joy unspeakable. The value that we all carry before the Lord is unfathomable. Ephesians 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise and glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might to gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Therefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you and making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, I don't know what you take from all that, but that is a glorious plan right there. This idea that Jesus, the Father himself, gave Jesus to be head over us, his headship in our lives. What does that look like? Different parts of the body of Christ call the headship of Christ the lordship of Christ. The idea of not just recognizing Jesus as your Savior, but also letting him be head over you in your life. A.W. Tozer said that a lot of Christian organization in America, in North America, a lot of ministries, a lot of churches say that they're doing God's will and say that they're walking out the gifts of God that have put in their place, and they are in a lot of areas they're walking out. But he said, this is way back in the 70s, he said that most of these Christian organizations, when they have board meetings and they say they're running God's ministry and Jesus is the head of our ministry, most of them don't even talk to Jesus about how to run their ministries. They just simply walk out what they perceive to be the plan of God in their lives. And they don't talk to the head of the church. Now, think about that for a while. I mean, that's it bothered me for a while to think that way, and then I thought that's probably true. Board meetings and people deciding who God is and deciding. I mean, we've even had people that are deciding right now who Jesus is, and they're deciding how much of the Bible is true and what to throw out. And we have people like that right now in the body of Christ that say that they're saved, that are deciding to throw out portions of the Bible, to literally redefine Christianity so it fits a 21st century model. And the idea of, to make it relevant and to throw out these horrible conservative ideas in their minds, that to really obey God and that God is this and God is that. And they're literally doing these kind of things, and they say they're doing God's work and they're these type of plans. But to draw back and even ask ourselves this question, if God found you, and you've trusted him as Savior of your life, have you made him the head of your life? Do we actually relate to Jesus every day when we're passionately pursuing him to bring heaven into earth, to bring the kingdom of God that we talk about and we speak about and we proclaim? Are we actually living our lives in passionate pursuit of Jesus Christ, that he's head of our lives? Are we talking to him on a daily basis? Are we actively trying to submit our lives into what his kingdom is like? Jesus gave a powerful proclamation of his kingdom in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. He said, this is how people are in the kingdom of heaven. This is how they act. The pure in heart, they shall see God. Blessed are they. He gave a powerful expose of what it's like to operate in his kingdom from a character standpoint. And he also demonstrated the power of his kingdom at the same time, because he healed that crowd that he talked to. And when you start to think that way, and is that even in our awareness? And I'm not speaking to anybody here right now, but it's this idea of, is that in our awareness as we live life? And the enemy tries to rob you consistently of that specific awareness of making Jesus head of your life. He wants you to hold on. The enemy wants you to hold on to fleshly desires. He wants you to hold on to fleshly awareness. He wants you to hold on to James chapter 3 wisdom, earthly wisdom, which is sensual and it's demonic. The Bible says that earthly wisdom has every demonic thing there. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is peaceful and loving. And the passage makes a great distinction of the different type of wisdom is out there. And we all, to be honest, operate in earthly wisdom in our lives from time to time. And sometimes more than others. But in our pursuit of God, we're not perfect, but in our pursuit of God, are we trying to make Him head of our lives? Do we want Him to talk to us? You know what Jesus does when He talks to us, because He's always thinking of you. He's always thinking of you with eyes of love. He wants you to arrive at this place of joy unspeakable or peace that surpasses all understanding. That's His goal for your life. But you know what He does then? He confronts you in your flesh. He confronts you where you aren't humble. He confronts your pride. He wants you to come to the place where you can recognize yourself, not so that you grovel and beg God to get rid of it, but so that you can recognize how this is interfering with who you really are in the Spirit, so that it doesn't tax you anymore, so it doesn't allow the enemy to lead you into offense anymore and actually hold unforgiveness when you say you're not. To actually live out life according to fleshly wisdom and come to church and do church without encountering God or without even... there's a lot of people that come into the doors and they live life in the eyes of others because they know what the right spiritual atmosphere is. And yet they go away and they haven't acknowledged God. I remember a time in ministry where I was ministering to people all day long early in my life at Voice. One day I saw an enormous amount of things happen. You know, cast demons out, and I saw people healed, and I saw Jesus talk to people, and there was a really holy moment in the prayer room that day, and I sat there, and I sat there in the house of prayer at the end of the day, and I was just going, man, this is awesome, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit whispered to me, He said, this is awesome, but you haven't acknowledged me today. Me personally, I hadn't talked to God. And that wasn't a bad thing. Like, it nullifies everything that was done that day. It just means that I can operate in some gifts of the Spirit or gifts of God and yet not acknowledge Him and yet not have that relationship with Him. On Thursday, I was sitting right there just studying. I had a couple hours, and I was studying in the house of prayer here. And I was a little overwhelmed by a lot of the things that, you know, are going on in life and a lot of the busyness right now and you know, family, kids, and marriage, and business, and ministry, and all those kind of things. And I was just thinking about it. You know, I really haven't fully connected to God for a long time. And what I mean by that is just sit before Him and talk to Him. Not doing any disciplines or, you know, Bible read, just connecting with God. And I made this, I had this realization, and I made this statement to Him. I said, God, I miss You. And the minute I said that, I felt the presence of God, and I started to just sob. And I laid my head down, and I was just like, this is what He wants. This is what He wants from us. He wants to fellowship with us. And I can't even imagine living life not fellowshipping with the One that loves you so intensely that He found you. He went after you. And sometimes God doesn't want us to develop and build doctrine and the way we should do things in church. He doesn't want us to build and focus on all that kind of stuff. He wants to be with you. And I tell you, if you want to impact the world around you, when you're with God, it's going to come natural. People know when you're with God. Just like they know if you're with the devil. if you live your life and you're consumed with sin, and even you might be struggling. I don't want to condemn anybody, but you might be struggling trying to get out of something, and you're going to God because of that. God still enjoys you as you're wrestling with that, and He knows your heart. But at the same time, if you're consumed with sin and then you try to impact people, it's not going to happen, because people know when you're close to God and they know when you're not. They really do. And one of the most powerful ways to demonstrate the kingdom of God is to hang out with Jesus. Because you know what comes out of you when you hang out with Jesus? Love. And love never fails. You can say all the most brilliant, wise words you can think of to people in their lives to try to get them to change or to love Jesus and that kind of a thing. But if you do it and you don't have the fragrance of Christ coming behind it, God, the Holy Spirit, will still use your words in a lot of areas in life. He does that. In your greatest weaknesses, He still moves through you. But the fragrance of the love of Christ can be yours. And you can hang out with Jesus and it begins to transform you. Remember, His goal is that you would be in this place of joy unspeakable at a heart level, no matter what your circumstances are. You can find saints from every century that had such diverse challenges, and some of the challenges were blessings, but they loved Jesus and they had a fragrance because they hung out with Him. And this fragrance came off of them. Everything they wrote. I remember when I went to the Notre Dame Library in the theology floor, and I started pulling these stories of some of these Christian monks and saints of old, and some of these Christian mystics. And I remember this one guy, I forget his name, but he was known for his joy. And so I thought, I want to see what this guy, you know, does. And of course, you're thinking of a guy that doesn't do anything, but you know, he's in a monastery, so he's meditating day and night. That's not what God's calling us all to do. Keep in mind, he has a call in this world for you. You're to be positioned in, no matter where you're positioned, He has a call in this world for you. And so all of us can't just leave everything and go to a monastery somewhere. But this guy, all he did was hang out with Jesus. And everything he said had impact on anybody around him. Some of the outside world would come to him. And he would just impact them. He would say what we would think the most simple things. But because of the fragrance of Christ in his life, they would change everything in people's lives. That's what God's calling us to. And we can't do that just so that we can do that. It's literally, Jesus wants to be head of our life. He wants you to talk to him. He wants to be treated as if, you know, like even right now, is Jesus in this room right now? It's Misty's song. I don't want to talk about you like you're not in the room. I want to look right at you. And God says, you're my beloved. You're called to that. You can stand before me in my Father's throne because of the blood of Jesus. You can literally stand before the throne of God by faith in the Spirit because of the blood of Jesus. And you can talk to God, and He can literally shift history through you. It doesn't matter who you are. We're all called to that as the body of Christ. And you can just never forget that God found you. And this great mystery in Ephesians 1, Paul is talking about this great mystery, but the very last verse, it says, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Who's His body? You and I are. The global body of Christ. It says, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Do you realize that the fullness of God is going to manifest in the body of Christ? That God is not fully, He's fully full inside Himself. But in the great mystery of adopting a family and creating a bride for His Son, in this eternal partnership where you're going to operate in authority and you become co-heirs with Jesus. And some people say, how can I believe that? Well, look at the first couple verses in Ephesians 1.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Is that some spiritual blessings? Or is that every spiritual blessing? God would say, you don't know who you are. But that's okay, come. He would say, I have so much for you. But he waits on us to make Jesus the head of our lives. I just feel like God is calling us as a people to start to enter into risk. What is risk? I don't know what it looks like for you. I know what it looks like for me, and it's different for all of us. But a lot of risk involves love. A lot of risk involves your public life. A lot of risk involves your family life. What are you willing to do for Jesus? And the manifestation of the kingdom of God through you and the kingdom of heaven through you means that you have to take risks. You can't always see God move unless you lay hands on somebody. You can't see God move unless you can go to the, Jesus said is in the Sermon on the Mount, to your enemy. And you can love your enemy. You can do good to them. It doesn't matter what it is. It's risky. The kingdom of God is risky. The Sermon on the Mount is enormous risk, because it's going to confront every human wisdom you have inside of you. It's going to confront every fleshly desire that you don't think you can live without, or every temptation or addiction that you feel like you're overtaken in and there's no way out. And Jesus said, I've made a way out. Your freedom is available even now. And so many people, they don't ask God for help anymore. They think that they should know the stuff, they should do the stuff. But the Bible says that to become into full maturity in the kingdom of God is to become like a child. And what is a child? A child is humble. A child is trusting. A child doesn't rely on human wisdom and knowledge in relationship with God or their parents. They come anyway, even when they're rejected. Even if you have an off day and you yell at your kids or something like that, they still come. Your dad, your mom. And so they come. Now kids sometimes, if they live in a lifestyle of that, they get to the point where they leave the home, leave their parents, and they, you know, that kind of a thing. But they, children are trusting. And I feel like God is asking us to begin to trust him again, but also to hear his voice no matter where you're at. I wish I could take yesterday back and pray for that woman. And it's not a devastating thing, you know, to my life or my calling or anything like that. It's simply just a missed opportunity. And I don't want to have 90% of my life be missed opportunities and 10% just be this. I want to get radical for Jesus. I want joy unspeakable. I don't want to live this Christian life just doing normal things, going to church and just talking about it. I want to manifest heaven into this place. I want to manifest heaven into my life. I want to be the best husband and father I can possibly be in my home life, not because I figured out how to do it. I got some head knowledge. I got all the head knowledge I could ever need. But I want to do it because I've submitted myself to Jesus Christ. And I've recognized who he is and his character. And I've realized and groomed myself in the Sermon on the Mount and 1 Corinthians 13. And that I can love my family. And I can love my wife like Christ loved the church. And you all have callings in these areas. You have things in your life where God will call you to take a risk. And sometimes the risk is you will be rejected. Sometimes the risk is, and this has happened to me several times in public, that I've stepped out and I've prayed for somebody and I've got the most unusual reactions of rejection. But God says, I don't want you to be moved by humans' rejections. I love the world that I sent my only begotten Son. And this is constant. This never changes. And I'm rejected all the time. And Jesus said you would be rejected for His name's sake. But if you're manifesting heaven, you're manifesting love. And you walk it out anyway. And that's what God is calling us to. And I feel like this morning He's calling people back to Himself. And He's saying, I want to be head over your heart. I want to be the true Lord of your life. I don't want you to live Christianity just because you kind of know how to do it. I don't want you to defend dogmas of the Bible and theology and not have love flowing out of your heart. I want you to be a human vessel that has rivers of living water flowing out of it. I remember a minister that was saved in the 60s. He had an encounter with God, and then he was learning. He was, detoxing from all the drugs and all the things. And one meeting he was in, suddenly he said, he felt this, like a big drop of, it felt like honey, and it went down his back. And he said it was the most exhilarating thing that he's ever experienced in his life. And he was like, it was like everything was right. He had the peace and the joy and everything. He said, what was that, God? And God said, that was one drop of my living water. And we're called to rivers of living water. Let's do this thing. And you know how we do this thing? We hang out with Jesus. And we start to learn how He does government in the Spirit. We start to learn about His kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And then we start to funnel it into people's lives around us. But God's going to call you to step out and risk. Some of you, He's going to call you to step out in public. Some of you, He's going to call you to step out and risk and get rid of your offense and your judgments and to love somebody. He's going to call you to do the exact opposite of what you've been doing in some of your relationships. But remember, what is His goal for you? Is to hang out with you and to be with you and to commune with you. Why don't you just stand? I'm just going to pray today. I'm going to open up the altar, and you're welcome to come up. I'm not going to release any ministry teams or anything like that. But let's just hang out with God for a few moments. And again, if you want to come forward and just pour out your heart to God, feel free to do that. But Lord, we come before You today and we thank You for who You are. We thank You that You love us. We thank You for Your tenderness. Lord, we ask today that You would be head of our lives, that we would come under Your headship, that we would come under Your perfect leadership. And Lord, I just pray for every heart right now in this room. Lord, that You would draw them into those areas of risk that You're calling them into. Lord, we want to be lovers of God and lovers of people. Lord, today would You empower us in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Just talk to God right now. Worship, talk to God, come to the altar. Let's just spend a few minutes in His presence.
Safe and secure from all alarms, Lord, I'm leaning on the everlasting. Lord,
sensing if you're in the room and you'd like prayer, just raise your hand, and I'm going to just have the people around you just pray for you, just put hands on you, just simple prayers that the body of Christ praying for the body of Christ. So if you need prayer right now, just raise your hand, and I'm going to let Michael take it out with a worship song, and just find somebody to pray for right now. Lord, we just thank You for what You're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.